Good morning.
And happy Thanksgiving to you. Isn't this the best time of the year? It is for me. I just love this time of year. And I just especially grateful to Judy and her band of elves and all those that helped yesterday to set up these beautiful decorations. It just seems like it gets nicer every year. And this year, I noticed that they added these two centuries up here to guard the audience while I'm preaching. And just in case they see anyone fall asleep, they blow these trumpets. So you better watch out, right? Right? That sounded a little lame. There it is. There it is. So you better watch out. Better stay awake, okay? All right. Well, thank you, Judy, and thank all those that that helped set everything up. You want to get your outline out from your program so that you can follow along with today's message. You know, Thursday, we all celebrated Thanksgiving. And, you know, I thank God that we live in a country where, you know, from the very beginning, George Washington, back in the 18th century, gave a Thanksgiving proclamation that set this day apart, or Thursday apart, the fourth Thursday in November, as a special day to give God thanks. Isn't that wonderful? Now, of course, we should give thanks to God every day, but it's so neat that our nation recognizes this as a national holiday. How many of you had a nice Thanksgiving dinner this past Thursday? Okay, just about all of you. How many of you say maybe you overate a little bit? Okay, quite a few. That's good. Confession is good for the soul. We are having communion a little later, so that's good. That's good. How many of you watch some football, huh? All right. How about those Lions beating the Packers for once, huh? Yes, yes, sir. Any of you do any shopping on Black Friday, even if it was on the internet? How many? All right, not too many. Not too many, but I did get a hearty amen there. Thank you for that. How many of you took time on Thursday to give thanks to God? How many of you? Oh, quite a few. I'm really proud of you guys. I really am. I'm wondering if you need this message or if I should just sit down. Well, maybe I'll preach it anyway, because we all need encouragement, right? You know, we frequently use the words, thank you. I hear it all the time, even when it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to say it. You know, I'll hear somebody talking to a telemarketer and saying, well, thank you, thank you, thank you. And are you really glad that this telemarketer called you? You're just trying to get rid of the telemarketer, right? In fact, I think that we say thank you sometimes to strangers more than perhaps we do to our loved ones, maybe more than we do to God. And I think that's too bad. You know, sometimes I hear people say things like, I can't really think of anything to be thankful for. Maybe even on Thanksgiving, I just can't think of anything to thank God for. Well, I'm here to tell you that even though we go through tough times where we do hurt and we do cry and we do mourn, just like Don was saying, and rightly so, because those times are hurtful to us, there is always something to thank God for, even on your darkest day. Do you know that for a Christian, there are no bad days? There are no bad days, just some are better than others. Why? Because we always have something to thank God for. Even if you're starving to death, even if you're dying by slow torture, even if you're being roasted over a fire, even if you're buried alive, our main idea today is still true. Even if any of those terrible things are happening, the main idea, the one thing you want to remember if you forget everything else I say, and you'll want to write it down, it goes like this. There's always plenty of reason to thank God. Can anybody say amen? All right. Today we're going to look at four reasons for giving thanks even on your darkest day. Things that don't change. Things that you can always cheer yourself up with. The first one, point number one on your outline, the first reason for giving thanks even on your darkest day is that God is good. Look at Psalm 107, verse 1, and help me out when we come to the yellow print. It says, and notice it's in the imperative here, in the imperative mood, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks just because God is who he is what he is, and that is good. Have you ever had a mean boss? Have you? Have you? Have you ever had a mean boss? Mary Meringue better not be raising her hand right now. You know, if you have a mean boss, that can make life difficult for you. It can certainly make your job difficult. What if God was evil? What if he was the mean boss of the universe? Imagine if God was a tyrant who was running the universe for evil purposes. Thank God that that is not true. God is good. God is good. He's the supreme boss of the universe, and he's in charge, and he is good. That's true even on your darkest day. That doesn't change. God doesn't become bad on those days when you're hurting. He's still good. So you can always thank God in accord with Psalm 107, verse 1, that says, give thanks to God, for he is good. Something that never changes. Let's just take a moment now to thank God for being good, all right? Just between you and God, between me and God. Can we say thank you together? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. We need to get into the habit of doing that, is telling him thanks. Let's look at the second reason for giving thanks, even on your darkest day. God is good to you. It's not just an objective reality that he's out there somewhere and he's good, but he's good to you. Let's look at Psalm 145, verse 9. The Lord is good to most people. Not what it says. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers his compassion on all his creation. Showers it. Not trickles. Not just a little whiff. But he showers his compassion on all creation. Even on the darkest day, that's true. Even if there was a day where you didn't have food or clothing or good health or shelter, he's still good to you. Even on those days. I talked with a couple recently that had gone to India, and they were just shocked by the difference of the standard of living between so many people there and what we have here in the United States. And they happened in their travels upon a family of five, I believe it was, which included one grandparent in this family that lived that lived on a twin bed. That was their home. The twin bed was their home. They all slept together on that twin bed. They must have been pretty skinny. And yet, he said, the fellow I was talking to, these people just, they didn't seem like they were bitter about what they didn't have. They didn't know what they didn't have. What, you know, the people in the United States, they were just very kindly, grateful people. And here we get angry if we don't, you know, have the latest iPad. And these people are living on a twin bed and grateful. You know, the Lord really is good to everybody. He's good to that family. He doesn't love you more than he loves them. He loves them. And he's good to them. It may seem strange to us, but he is. Look at what it says here in 1 John 4:9. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. That's true even on your darkest day. You know, I thought, you know, God has been really, really good to me. He's blessed me with a wonderful wife and kids and a great church to minister to and with, and so many things in this wonderful country. But, you know, if God just took all that away from me, just took it all away, and my whole family rejected me, and all of you rejected me, and kicked me out, and, you know, sent me away with no food, no clothing, nothing, and I had to, you know, find shelter in a dumpster somewhere, and just died of exposure and starvation in that dumpster, you know what? I could still be grateful for everything God had. I'm not saying it'd be easy. And please don't do that and check out to see if I'm still grateful, because I might struggle. But I still have plenty of objective reason to be grateful, because God has been so good to me. Whatever I suffer here on earth, I have eternity because Jesus died for me and rose from the dead. There's always something to be thankful for, and that is surely number one on the list. Well, let's look at a third reason why giving thanks is even possible on your darkest day. Number three on your outline, giving thanks is God's will for you. It's God's will. You want to know God's will for your life? Well, let me show you a passage in the Bible that tells you God's will for your life. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I'm going to read the first part of the sentence carefully, so I want you to pay attention to what it says. It says, give thanks in some circumstances. See? Now, that's very reasonable, because not all circumstances are good circumstances, right? So we're supposed to give... You're looking at me funny. Did I get it wrong? Okay, yeah, I did. All right, that's right. Give thanks in most circumstances. But that's reasonable. That's reasonable. I mean, most of us have pretty good lives. Most of us are healthy. Most of us have, you know, a job and a nice house and a car, and most circumstances are good. But you're not going to give thanks when, you know, you get fired or laid off, right? That doesn't make any sense. When the diagnosis is cancer, come on. You're still looking at me funny. Did I get it wrong? I did get it wrong. Give thanks in all circumstances, help me out, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Even on your darkest day, even on your darkest day, this is God's will for your life. Now, yes, there are days when we hurt, we're not feeling well, we've lost a loved one, something bad has happened. It doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. It says give thanks in all circumstances, because you know what? Even in those negative circumstances that hurt us and break us down and make us sad, we need people to comfort us and help us in those difficult times. Guess what? There's still all these wonderful things for us to give thanks for. And that can cheer our hearts. You know, grateful people are more happy than people who are not grateful. They just tend to be happier because they just have an attitude of gratitude. And an attitude of gratitude is a happier attitude. It is. It really is. You ought to try it. Living this way really makes a difference. And guess what? It's not that grateful people just get all the breaks. They don't have any bad days. They don't have the mean boss. They don't, you know, get the diagnosis of cancer. They don't have the loved one who dies. Of course they do. It's just that they look at what to be thankful for, even though those bad things are happening. So this is God's will for your life. And guess what? Sometimes we have to do things. There's the Nike symbol and the Nike saying, just do it. Sometimes we just need to do things because it's the right thing to do. And don't look at me like that. Because there's things that you do when you don't feel like doing it, like getting out of bed. You got out of bed today, even though you stayed up late. You got out of bed to come to church, didn't you? Maybe you wanted to sleep in, but you said, no, I need to be there. You certainly do that for work. You brush your teeth. Maybe you don't feel like doing that, but you do it. You take a shower. At least most of you did, right? We do things just because we know they're the right thing to do. You go to the dentist. You get an oil change for your car. You don't feel like doing it. You don't want to pay out that money, but you do it because you know it's the right thing to do. Sometimes we have to just tell ourselves, you know, praising God, giving thanks to God is just the right thing to do. I don't feel like it right now, but I'm going to do it. And guess what? When you do it, you feel better because an attitude of gratitude feels better than a cranky, bitter attitude. Let's look at the fourth and final reason for giving thanks to God even on your darkest day. Number four, neglecting thanks is the first sign of trouble. You know, once mankind was perfect, they lived in a perfect environment. Garden of Eden, you know the story. They fell into sin. Now, at that point, that first generation, that first couple, they still knew God. Yes, they were in sin, but they still knew right versus wrong. And they still could have done the right thing and avoided all the trouble that has come on into the world through, you know, war and poverty and a huge percentage of people who don't know God. They could have avoided all that. But they didn't. We have the problem that we have today. Where did they go wrong? Well, the Apostle Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 1. Look at what he says. He's talking about way back in the day. He says, they knew God. Okay, so this is way back. They knew God, but they didn't honor him as God. Help me out. They didn't thank him. Their thinking became worthless. Their foolish hearts became dark. Bingo. There it is. Neglecting thanks is the step off the cliff. That's where humanity just really blew it. They didn't thank him for being good. They didn't thank him for being good to us. I saw this picture the other day. I thought you would find it humorous. It's the next one. Yeah, look at these guys. Look at these guys. You know what that is? You know, maybe you can't really see it, but that here floating in the water is a power strip, and it's plugged in, okay? It is plugged in. It looks like it's going out of the pool here, and here are these guys in the pool with a plugged-in water strip. Not water strip, power strip. This, I can't believe that they're still alive. I mean, this has got to be staged or faked or something, but these guys are dummies. I don't like to call people stupid, but these guys are stupid. You don't do that, and kids, don't try this. Do not try this. I am not responsible if you do something dumb, because you will kill yourself. But I'll tell you, dumb as that is, neglecting to give thanks to God is just as dumb, if not dumber. Giving thanks is not just a polite thing. It is that. It's not just a good thing. It is that. But it's also a necessary thing. So let's close by looking at four tips for tipping God. You need to tip God every day. Tip him. First of all, thank God for seven things when you pray. Now, seven, not some particular holy number in this case. It's just something I am suggesting. When you pray, thank God for a bunch of things. Just list off some things and thank him. Secondly, thank God in place of complaining. You know when that rage just kind of mounts up within you and you want to complain about something, you've been shafted, somebody took advantage of you, why not replace that with complaining, with praise? These misstatements are getting me in trouble these days. Replace complaining with thanks. The next one, thank God while brushing your teeth. This is wasted time normally. You could be doing something productive, okay? And of course, that's just an example. You could also praise him when you're in the shower or doing anything else where your mind is just usually in neutral. Why not praise the Lord? You might actually end up with cleaner teeth. Who knows? All right? Finally, thank God when your head hits the pillow at night. You just, you know, ready to crash. Just list some things to him that you're thankful for. And guess what? As a fringe benefit, I would not be surprised if you do these things, that you end up a happier person. Really. That's not why you do it, but I think you will end up a more grateful, happy person. There's always plenty of reason to thank God.